Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the show. Rachel's here.
Greetings.
And Vassos is here.
Knock-a-doodle-doo.
Many people will be running the London Marathon, as many people run many marathons, you know, over the course of the year, and half marathons and fun runs and cash to 5Ks and 10Ks and all that good stuff. But we have the man who actually runs the marathon. So he runs the whole thing so we can run it. His name's Hugh Brasher. He'll be here later.
He is. He comes from athletics royalty. His dad helped Sir Roger Bannister break the 4-minute mile and found the London Marathon. Hugh has been at every London Marathon since, and he is the boss.
Also on the show today, Dexter Fletcher's going to be here talking about Ghosted, his brand new film.
He is one of our finest actors and directors who's given us everything from Lock, Stock to Rocket Man. His latest film is Ghosted. It's on Apple TV Plus today, and it's funny and exciting and romantic, which is sort of perfect. It ticks all the boxes.
But for me, he will forever be Spike from Press Gang.
All right, that's good. And for other people, he'll be whoever he played in Lock, Stock. And last night at the Ghosted premiere in Leicester Square, the cast, most of the cast of Lock, Stock got back together to go and support him at his film, including Jason Statham, who lives in LA now and is one of the biggest stars in the world,
wow,
isn't he? On the planet. All right, running. Vassos has signed up for a 200 miler with Brett Amonge. What the heck is going on? Right, who asked who out on this date?
I think you asked me out, yeah. But I was already on the date.
Yeah. That's true, yeah.
Crashed it.
Yeah, I texted you first, didn't I?
Yeah.
Right, so longest run so far?
110 miles.
What was that?
The UTMB.
What does that mean?
The Trail de Mont Blanc. So you run from France, Switzerland, back in Italy, then back into France again.
This is the one that gave me passport concerns.
Yeah, this is making Sunday's London Marathon seem like a park run. Thanks for that, everyone. Of course, your UTMB included elevation.
Yes, yeah, lots of elevation, lots of hiking.
What does that mean, lots of elevation?
So, hiking up hills.
How many
feet? I think it's like 14,000 metres, I think.
Wow, that's 27,000 feet. That's the height of Everest.
It's
up and down
around. So that's throughout the whole course, 110 out the whole course.
Through the night?
Yep, two nights. Started on a Friday early evening, and then I finished on the Sunday mid-morning.
Did you also go the wrong way for basically half a marathon?
No, I thought I was somewhere else. I think I was delusional.
Hallucinating, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
I thought I was somewhere, but I wasn't.
And now you're going to do a longer
one. Yeah, but hey, that was only 110 miles. Add another 90. Your longest run so far, Vassos Alexander?
153 or 4.
With a mountain in between?
Yeah, up and over a 4,000 foot
mountain.
So
which one was that?
So that's from Athens in Greece to Sparta, also in Greece.
I'm not sure you two should be doing this.
By the way, did he just say that's
in the Greece?
In the Greece.
I was
he claims
say,
to be Greek, and he calls the
He's
country
nervous.
The Greece. I don't believe you.
I just feel that we need a definite article.
Ask for a passport.
You know how people say the Ukraine, and it's just Ukraine.
Yes.
I feel like it should be the Ukraine and the Greece.
It's getting worse. The hole's getting deeper. So it's a 200 miler. It happens just before Christmas when it's mostly dark and cold. That's a good idea. And it's an inaugural run. This has never happened before.
So James Elson, who runs Centurion, you've volunteered at, and I've run several of their races. They're lovely. You give out bananas at Marlow Bridge on the Thames Path 100. I've run the South. That was my first 100 miler, the South Downs Way 100, which is coming up in early June. Hello, everyone. We have a new race to bring you. It's longer and darker than we've ever gone before. We hope it offers a select group of you who want to tackle this inaugural event a true winter adventure. And it's called the Winter Downs 200, just before Christmas this year. And it's 200 miles.
Nice.
I mean, the state of us, Brett, when we've run 100, and that's halfway.
Speak for yourself.
The fighting talk's already begun.
He's got his game face on.
I thought we were running this together. Against each other.
That's not going to happen. You can't smash this one in your minion outfit, hoping to get in the papers the next day.
I mean, he would, though, if he did run it in the minion outfit.
It's not the worst idea. It's
not
that they don't allow fancy dress, but I do think fancy dress might be frowned on a bit.
Well, do you know what? It's just disrespectful, I think, to... The London Marathon, it's a joy. You know, you run in fancy dress and you bring joy to people. I think if you're trying to do this in fancy dress, well, we'll say you just couldn't. You literally, you couldn't.
Well, we don't know that, do we? Mm. Until somebody gives it a go.
Brett?
The Ultra Minion. I think it's got a ring to it. Yeah. You had the UTMB. He could have the UM, I don't know, UK, I suppose. Yeah. The Ultra Minion UK. It could be a thing. Mm. Good. This is good, isn't it? It's very exciting. Very exciting.
I'm concerned.
So it's going to be two nights.
I would imagine two. So how long? Maybe three.
You won't stop for a nap.
Well, you might have to, but the clock is always running.
They do in ultras. Yeah. People do micro sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes they sleep whilst running. People have slept whilst running and they carry on running, and they could have been running for literally a couple of miles whilst asleep. It's true, isn't it, Bas?
Yeah, I think it might well have happened to me. It's sort of difficult to remember. I don't remember much of the last 30 miles of the 150-mile race, but I think I might have been... Because you find yourself in the middle of the road and you go, oh, this is actually dangerous. I don't know how I got there. Don't fall asleep again.
Anyway, back to just marathon running, if that's all right. This is just marathon running. Is that okay with you two?
We just
took about 26.2 miles. All these people who've trained for it. It's the biggest thing they've ever done in their lives. They're going to do it on Sunday.
There's no greater race, honestly, in the world than the TCS London Marathon.
All right, here we go. Things Paula Radcliffe told me the Friday before my first ever marathon. This is from my book, 119 Days to Go, How to Train for and Smash Your First Marathon. All proceeds from this book, and it has a very long tail. It seems like it's going to sell forever, this book. Go to Martin Yelling's brilliant running charity, Stormbreak. It's a running mental health charity, and the things it does and the tens of thousands of people it helps is incredible, and it's wonderful. So he's very welcome to all the profits. This is what Paula Radcliffe told me 2 days before I ran my first marathon, and it's 2 days before many people's first marathon today, so I'll share these with you. Here we go. Don't overeat in the next 48 hours. Carb loading is often blown up out of all proportions, and you don't want to be. No. Paula told me this as we both tucked into a starter portion of mushroom risotto in the sunshine outside the Tower Hotel at Tower Bridge on the Friday lunchtime before my first marathon. Try to stay off your feet as much as possible between now and the start of the race if you can. Lie down. If you can't lie down, sit down. If you can't sit down, perch. If you can't perch, lean. If you can't lean, then stand, but only for as little time as is absolutely necessary. Once the race has started and you've settled down after, say, a mile or so, ask yourself, could I run faster if I wanted to? If the answer is no, then you already are running too fast, in which case you need to slow down a bit, relax, recalibrate. The number one mistake of first-time marathon runners is setting off too quickly without realizing it because you're too blooming excited and are having the mother of all adrenaline rushes. Be ready for 3 mid-race dips. She also told me this. In fact, even better, expect 3 dips in the race. 3 periods where you have to tough it out. If they don't come, brilliant. But if they do, don't waste energy or focus by being surprised by them. Stay calm. Stick to your plan. They will pass. You will finish because you have done the work. Try to get a good night's sleep. Box breathe, sleep breathe, slow down the heart rate. Think only good thoughts. All right, see you at the start line. So Radio Gold, it's a bit like the SpaceX countdown from yesterday. Radio Gold, 10 minutes and counting, minus 10 and counting.
This is the thing that only you know about currently, and one other person.
One other person.
And is the other person the person that's coming on the radio?
Yes. But we're going to have to create a facade for that to happen. And so if I start acting even stranger than usual, mm-hmm. then just go with it.
Okay.
Okay. Because I'm going to make stuff up in the next 10 minutes and you're going to think, oh, this is the case. Just go with it and then
okay.
Radio Gold will unfold. Well, we hope so. I mean, it might not. It could go pear-shaped. Sometimes things do.
Mm-hmm. It happens. You know?
It happens,
doesn't
it?
With the best intentions.
The best intentions. The unintended consequence of good intentions. Well, what's that for? What's that?
I'm still trying to shake it off.
Are you?
Yeah, on your behalf.
Thank you very much indeed. Shaking it back on, after 23 years, Everything But the Girl return with a 5-star comeback. They are loving it. I loved Everything But the Girl anyway, and now they're back, and they're as good, if not better, than they were before. Did anybody have this on their radar, this TV show, Scared of the Dark, on Channel 4?
No.
So it's a show that's been on for the last week or two. It's celebrities in the dark, but it's pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of you. And it's those guys doing things together. And it's a sort of Big Brother-esque, I'm a celebrity-esque, people getting voted out. And Gazza was in there. Now, Gazza, I know Gazza, and Gazza is scared of many things. And one of the things he's most scared of is the dark. And it's typical Gazza. Oh, I'll do that show then. Anyway, he's won it.
Oh,
I'm so pleased for him.
He's still scared of the dark.
I don't know, but he's won this. And I'm so pleased for him. And it seemed that everybody who was in there, Nicola Adams was in there, Donna Preston was in there, Scarlett Moffat was in there with him. Also, Chris Eubank was in there. Apparently, it was a great show. But I didn't really hear about it that much. One of my friends has been watching it and said it's the best thing, and she can't understand why we haven't been talking about it more and it's not been in the papers more. But very Channel 4, isn't it? You know, let's do one of the celebrity vote-off shows, popularity shows, but totally in the dark. And that's basically, I don't know what happened. I don't know what they got them to do.
What can you see?
And they couldn't see anything.
But what can we see?
We can see everything because it was infrared cameras.
Oh, okay.
The thing is, you know, when you scrunch your eyes closed, if you're looking at the stars and you want to see more stars, then if you close your eyes and you squeeze your eyes tight and open them again, you'll see more stars, because you do see more in the dark the longer you're in the dark, don't you? Your eyes get used to it because your pupils open wider, don't they? Your aperture opens wider. But that didn't happen here because it was pitch black. And when it's actually pitch black, you can't get... Well, you can get used to the fact it's pitch black, but you won't see more. Because unless you're like a guru, because some gurus can see through their tongues, can't they?
Indeed.
Or is that snakes?
What?
I don't know. Some animals can see through things other than their eyes. Because we only see through our eyes because that's what evolution has dictated that we do. And do you know that our eyes are two parts of our brain that fell down to fill the holes in our face? So do you know that?
No. So, why did we have holes in our face?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know that.
Is this the bit where you're being more weird than usual and we should just go with it?
No.
Or is this actual?
This is actual. For now. Sorry, this is just normal weird. This is normie weird. That's why when you are hungover, your eyes get bloodshot, because the inflammation that you see in the veins in your eyes, because you start to see the veins, don't you, when your eyes are bloodshot?
Yeah.
They are exactly the same as the veins you would see in your brain, and that is exactly what's happening to your brain. And that's why certain ancient medicine and practitioners of ancient medicine, which I still hold a lot more stock in than this newfangled science, which has only been around for 500 years, which in the great scheme of things may have been a bit of a fad if you can fast forward another billion years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why ancient practitioners of this kind of medicine can look at your eyes and tell you what's wrong with you.
That's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, only half with you, I would imagine.
Because I only got one. I went to the eye surgeon last week, Mr. Mohammed, and he put some drops in my eyes, talking about sort of opening the apertures, which because he needed to examine them properly. And he said, in 10 minutes' time, you're going to have these, you know, these, whatever they call, the iris is going to really open. And then when you get outside for the next 3 or 4 hours, don't drive, everything would be super bright. And I walked out and it was almost like the world was turned up, like you'd put a filter on an Instagram, but plus.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. I couldn't read anything close up, but for the next 4 hours, the whole world was like it was in a sort of kind of Disney cartoon. It was sort of great. I sort of missed those 4 hours.
You're getting very much like this, aren't you, with your psilocybin trips?
Yeah. It was a bit like that, actually.
Well, you went for a legal one. Have you had your illegal one yet?
No, because it's illegal.
Oh, that's a yes, isn't it? The way you've done
that. It's very high-pitched.
Because it's pesky. Also, you did your pesky face. You're really pleased with your pesky... It's not illegal, but it's unlawful.
Okay. But either way, I wouldn't do either of those things. I wouldn't do illegal or unlawful.
Ever. To do with anything this week?
No, absolutely not.
Not just the psilocybin
thing?
No. You wouldn't do anything else either, would you?
Nope.
On the open roads of Great Britain.
And we've had a chat about that. It's not happening again.
How are you, Rachel?
Very well, thank you.
Now, you've been in this situation.
I have been in your actual running shoes.
Two sleeps to go.
Yeah.
How did you feel?
I felt really excited because I had stuck to your book and I felt I'd trained hard to fight easy.
All right.
And also I was going to be running with the minions.
Yeah. All right, so we have our charity bidders here, our winning auction bidders. Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Oh, my goodness me. They're so excited. They look so fit and so fresh. Oh, my goodness. I suppose we should get somebody to talk now, at least one of you, to sort of speak on behalf of the group. So I've got all your names in a hat here, and I'll just shake the hat up. And I've got all the names in here, all the names you just heard. And let's pull the name out, and it's... Paul Rooker is going to speak on behalf of the group. Jump on the microphone over here, Rooker. OK, Paul has supported us for many, many years now. You've been on many, many experiences with us because of your very successful biz. Good morning again,
Good morning,
Rooker.
Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. Good. It's been great to meet you over the years. I can't remember what the first thing was that we met on. You probably can.
Yeah, I know. The very first marathon was April 2015. Your first marathon, your secret marathon.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I was in the VIP tent there and I met you first. And then a year after, we'd done the 2017, you know, that was it. And it just carried on. Snowboard.
Okay. All right. All super cool. And thanks for your support. And thanks for your generosity over the years.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Really, really appreciate it. Do you have any paranoia, any nerves at all?
No, because I tore my calf 2 days ago.
Right.
So I tore it about 5-6 weeks ago.
Yes.
And I was about 6 weeks to get over that. And it was 6 weeks was going to be Monday.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd done my little test run 2 days ago.
And it pinged again.
Pinged again, straight away.
This is what I'm hearing.
Yes, so not good.
The highlights aren't over for you.
No.
Because your partner is running.
So. Correct, Aga,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Aga's running. Yay! So now, Aga, you're running for two.
Yeah.
All right, is there anything you'd like to ask her, Paul?
Well, the thing is, I think for me, running has changed my life.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I think for all you guys, for the first time, running is definitely just, for me, it's changed my life. So I put a few words down to see how it changed my life. So it might change your life. I don't know. So if I may,
please
write a few lines.
Okay. Go ahead.
So thanks to Chris, we find us all here on the 17th floor. And I guarantee you now, after this marathon, you all want to do more. When you cross the finishing line, you will probably be in tears. But fear not, guys. Within the hour, you'll be celebrating with some cold beers. The running bug is indeed real because it happened to me. So if I may take a minute, I would tell you about my journey. My very first marathon started in April 2015. Asked me to do another just after it, I wouldn't have been keen. A year on, however, I listened to Chris's auction for the Children in Need appeal. I made one of the best phone calls of my life and done the deal. I arrived in the Big Smoke on my own and then met 7 other amazing people who love to run and never moan. The next few years, more marathons followed, including Amsterdam, Paris, New York, and Tokyo too. Although, I didn't finish Tokyo because I couldn't find a loo. True story.
That's true.
The pandemic was upon us, and I was afraid I would lose my mojo. So I took on a running challenge, and I was back in the flow. It was there I connected with my partner Agnieszka on Strava, the running app. But unfortunately, she lived in Newcastle, which was 300 miles away on my map. We soon met up, and it was love at first sight. I felt on cloud 9, even higher than a kite. Aga, you have shown me love and support like no other, and to me, you'll always be my lover. One of the biggest things in my life is trust and loyalty, and being with you has proved we are meant to be. I have to say, you are beautiful inside and out, and I know we will be together forever. This, I have no doubt. So guys, As you have heard my little story, I'm living proof that running has literally changed my life. And to this end, I want to ask you, Agnieszka, will you marry me and be like...
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! I thought I came here for a marathon. Of course.
She had no idea she'd sign up for that kind of marathon. We're running 26.2 miles. She's going to be running for years now with that one.
I thought, like, running safe, like, you can't get, like, romantic or anything.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a mess here. I love a proposal on the show, don't you?
Try the ring on. I want to see the ring on.
God, she said yes.
Yeah. A friend of mine,
yes,
Rob, proposed to his wife Cindy at the end of the London Marathon on the finishing line.
Yeah.
Or so the story goes. But I don't think he said, will you marry me? I think he said, will you carry me?
Yeah, that's all! Always gets out of it with a lame gag. Anyway, back to the moment, Vass. Let's hear for Agra and Rooker! It's not the first marathon marriage, and it hopefully won't be the last. It definitely won't be the last. All right, three cheers for Agra and Paul. Hip, hip!
Hooray!
Hip, hip! And one for luck for Agra. Hip, hip! Hooray! All right, let's get into this next chat because we have a very busy man with us. He's got to go in a minute. Vass, it's over to you.
He's the man who runs the best race in the world so the rest of us can run the best race in the world. And if we think we get Maranoia before the big day, how's the big boss feeling with 2 days to go? Let's welcome the TCS London Marathon event director. We just want to praise you, Hugh Brasher.
Yeah! Hugh, good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. I mean, why? What an entrance to what you know, the London Marathon? Nothing. This is amazing. Absolutely brilliant.
Can Hugh come to the wedding? Is he invited?
Yeah, best man.
All right, okay. Hugh, it's wonderful. That's what running... I mean, running can do many, many things. You know, almost all amazingly good for our well-being and our mental health. But it's just done that. Your race has just done that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It is incredible. And, you know, the positivity that running gives, the stories are incredible, the journeys that people go on. You know, other than you, I think I have the best job in the world. Because if that job is helping moments like that happen, wow, it just does something to your heart, to your soul. And that's what the London Marathon is all about.
I know, because I've talked to so many people this week who are coming to watch. You know, you can get addicted to coming to watch it because it's like a day of sort of group therapy. Even if you come and watch it on your own, like you say, the positivity, the human spirit, you know, us dancing at our absolute best through the streets of London just lifts your heart. And it can stay with you, that feeling, for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not forever.
Yeah, and it is that feeling. It is that, you know, I think... In society, we get beaten down by so many, you know, the mental health pressures that we have. Yet you will see real joy, togetherness, total strangers helping each other out, coming together, because you know that 26.2 miles at some stage is going to hurt. Sorry, guys. It is going to hurt. You know it is. But, and you know, as you say, in tears across the line, that will happen so often. But as you say, a beer afterwards, suddenly those tears are disappearing.
Oh my goodness,
you're
me.
Just remembering the fact that people are cheering your name, giving you a feeling that you just will not get anywhere else in your life. And Agga, it might be tomorrow, Sunday might be the best day of your life. I'm not saying your wedding isn't going to be amazing. I'm just going to go. It's going to be incredible.
The great thing about one of the great things about the London Marathon is the first 6 miles are downhill, but it could be all downhill for you from here. Let's hope that's not the case, Agga. I'm sure it won't. I love Rooker. I think he's an amazing human being. He's got magic about him. Talking of magic, let's get to the pointy end of things on Sunday. What's happening with the elites this year?
Oh, it's just going to be absolutely incredible. I mean, this is probably the best ever women's endurance race in the history of sport. I'm not just talking about marathon running. So, I mean, that's a pretty big statement. So you've got the current Olympic champion. You've got the current world champion. You've got our reigning champion. You've got the world record over 10,000 metres, both on the track and the road. You've got a debutante from Safan Hassan, who won Olympic gold in the 5,000, the 10,000, and she got bronze in the 1,500 metres, having fallen over in the semi-final. Eilish McColgan, we're not sure whether she will be running or won't be running, but honestly, that women's race is insanely good. And on top of that, you've got four of the five fastest men ever. You've got the richest wheelchair race in the history of the sport. And by the way, 45,000 people just going to happen to have one of the greatest days of their life,
yeah,
raising more than £60 million
this
for
year.
Charity this year. That is absolutely what we've
been. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You know, and we mentioned this the other day. I know you listened to the show. Thanks so much for that. But we mentioned this the other day. A lot of people will be running on Sunday because they want a place in the ballot, and they may not be sponsored because it may not just have occurred to them, and it's completely fair enough. But you still have time to ask some people for some cash. And believe me, people will want to support you by giving you a fiver or a tenner. You may not think that. It may not have occurred to you. You may have a bit of paranoia going on. You might want to welcome distraction. A welcome distraction would be to just email some of your pals or mention it at work today. And if 10,000 people who currently aren't sponsored, and there will be 10,000 people who aren't running for cash or for good causes, even though £60 million is already going to be raised, we know that. If 10,000 of you get 100 quid each, that's £1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and if 10,000 of you get 200 quid each, that's £2 million. And if 20,000 of you get 1,000 quid each, well, it's beyond my maths, but it's a lot more money. So there's still time, isn't there?
There is absolutely still time. And Great Ormond Street is the charity of the year. I mean, you know, what they do in helping kids to get better is unbelievable. So the support, you know, it doesn't, virtually all of us in our lives are touched by some form of tragedy. We want to remember someone. It was 20 years since my father died this year. Pancreatic cancer was what took him. There will be something that is the reason that you want to run, and it will help you on that journey. At some point, when it's feeling difficult, knowing that what you're doing is helping someone else is just such a powerful feeling.
It's a great marathon thought. It's a great running thought, isn't it? So if you're not sponsored yet, and some people won't be, and this is no sort of judgment on you, it's just saying you can do this and it will help everything, and it'll add to your, what's already a win-win, it will add to that. People often ask you two questions. The most frequently asked questions of runners is, are you going for a time and who are you running for? And it's just great to have a couple of answers there. Just bear that in mind, just putting it out there. The fun stuff, what fun stuff is going on this year that you're aware of?
Oh, I mean, Rainbow Row is going to be amazing.
Tell us about Rainbow Row.
So Rainbow Row, LGBT plus community, Denise Van Outen DJing.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Drag queens. Honestly, we started it last year. It's going to be bigger and better. And at Mile 21, heck, again, I mean, I'm not always talking about pain, but maybe that's when you need that. Maybe... Okay, I am. But maybe that's when you need that added lift. And wow, are you going to get one?
It's just you saying that is making me fear mile 20 for me, usually, or 19 or 18, or 3, 4, 5, the start line. Is making me feel less anxious about it. The fact that I know she's going to be there.
She's going to be there, and it is going to be rocking. I mean, it really is. So, I mean, I can't wait to get the feedback from that. Last year, it was quite incredible. So, yeah, that's probably the place, I think, that people will feel just... So uplifted.
Okay, so back to my little book here, 119 days to go. So we go to 117 days, and on 117 days, or day 117, I've listed things Paula Radcliffe told me 2 days before my first marathon. And the page before that, which was yesterday technically, is, you know, prepare a checklist today for the weekend, simple things that you will forget if you haven't written them down, and you'll remember them the second you start off. That's how it happens. So first of all, gels, hydration, of course, iPod headphones, yes or no, podcast playlist, both neither, gloves, hats, sunnies, how many layers will you need while waiting at the start? Because this is all working back to the number one thing you have to do, check the weather. But Hugh, you can tell us, what do you know of the weather for Sunday here on Friday?
It's looking a bit wet, I'm afraid. Perfect temperature. So probably around, starts off about 10, maybe rises up to 15. But yeah, at the moment, but hey, this is Great Britain. So it changes every single day, if not every single hour. But yeah, maybe a bit wet. So just when you're at that start line, make sure that you've got something to cover yourself up, because your bags will go off on those baggage lorries probably at least 45 minutes before you do. So that would be my piece of advice. Make sure you've got something just put over the top of you. We will collect it. If it's a piece of clothing, we will collect it. That clothing will then go to charity. Yeah, that would be a tip.
You got it, sus, man, as always. I want to talk to you forever, but I know you're busy. We've got to get on with the news and stuff like that. Of course, once you're running, it's going to be fine. It's only going to be showers if it does rain, and it'll be in the early half of the race. That's what I heard.
Absolutely right. If you're out there for longer, the sun will start shining. That's what
one way or another.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So come on. It's like, just stay out there a bit longer. Soak up the vibes. It's going to be amazing. Slow down.
Yeah, and for me, as Smile. I always say this, the longer it takes you, the better a runner you are. Because, you know, Vassos finishes in 4 hours or 3.5 hours. You know, I can run for 5 hours, Vassos.
You can run. Look, Mo Farah's never done a run as long as that.
Yeah, no, when I meet him, I say, I can run for longer than you.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Is he still running?
He absolutely still running. And look, he said this is going to be his last marathon.
Right.
And what this man has done in terms of his Olympic records, his Olympic gold medals,
yeah.
his world medals is incredible. He's 40 and he's...
He's
40.
It's not loud.
Exactly. He's 40. I mean, there's two 40-year-olds, him and... Not the two, there's a lot of 40-year-olds, but him and Kenenisa Bekele at the front. Kenenisa Bekele broke the world record for a 40-year-old in the London Marathon last year. In the TCS London Marathon, he ran 2 hours and 5 minutes.
That's just wrong.
As a full, yeah,
it's just rude, isn't it?
It's rude, and hey, why not slow down and just enjoy it?
Did you see the 94-year-old who finished the Paris Marathon? Did you see that guy?
I didn't see
that. Oh, it's all over Instagram. I'll show it to you in a bit.
Well, we have an amazing woman called Yuko Gordon. She is 72, and she is aiming. I hope I'm not going to put pressure on her, but she is aiming for a world record. For a female over 70 of 3 hours and 27 minutes.
That's even ruder than the 2 hours 5 guy.
And she looks amazing on it. She looks absolutely stunning on it. She's just a radiance of joy. And we just wish her all the best of luck on Sunday.
Sue, thanks for making time to see us. I know you're really busy this morning because you run the London Marathon. I don't know if you know that. He runs the London Marathon. Please, can we have some more places for next year so we can do this again?
Always. You guys are just amazing. And you know, what Paul was saying earlier about what running can do and what you say in terms of changing your life. If you feel inspired, the ballot for next year opens tomorrow.
Does it?
Right, tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Okay?
Boo-hoo!
And it's only open for a week. And if you think, oh, I'll do it the day after, no, don't. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Get up, get inspired, because that's the journey. That's the first step. Say, I want to do it. Register. Doesn't cost you anything to register. And then if you find out that you've got in, it will be the start of a new you.
Do you think we should, because we usually hold our auction for these places in November, do you think we should do it sooner? Do you think we should do it like after the marathon while the heat's still there? Or do you think we should leave it where it is?
I think actually it'd be incredible to do it after the marathon, to do a few people after the marathon, maybe split it in two.
Next week, maybe.
Absolutely, because people, it's the forefront of their minds, and it is the forefront of inspiration. I do remember one year, my sister entered the ballot, and she called me up and in October and said, oh, I got refused. So I said, well, actually, I do get a couple of places. That would you like one of those? I do. It is two, right? It's
two. Can you get me in, bro?
It's two. And I said, well, do you want one of those places? She went, my God, no. I just entered the ballot. I didn't want to get in.
Hugh, good luck. I hope it all goes well. Round of applause for Hugh Brayshaw. And the London Marathon and all marathons and all part runs and all cash to 10Ks and all half marathons. You're all awesome.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Well, the gold just keeps on coming. Vassos, who are we talking to now?
He's one of Britain's finest actors and directors who's given us everything from A Lock, Stock to A Rocket Man. His latest film, Ghosted, is available today on Apple TV+. So do we have time for one more mega guest before our mega marathon weekend? You betcha, it's Dexter Fletcher!
Yes!
What an intro!
I know! And
that
you've got
quality!
This is real applause. Normally I just play this. But it's real applause! Yay! From our marathon runners. So, what time are you hoping for?
What time?
Oh, sorry,
yeah,
no. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's about the film, isn't
late.
It? Sorry, it's
10
about
minutes. Is
it's
that a
about
good time?
The film. Have you run? Are you a runner? Do you
no,
keep
no.
fit? None
I
of
would,
that
I
stuff.
I wouldn't dare.
My ankles and knees would buckle beneath
me. But you're a showrunner, you know, you're a film runner. You make these amazing films. Okay, Dexter,
thank you.
Your directorial career is just going from strength to strength. I mean, it's just absolutely awesome. And now...
Thank you.
He's directed this thing called Ghosted, which we all watched yesterday. It's available today from Apple TV+. Here's my take on it.
Go on.
Right, okay.
Go on.
So, it's a rom-com action thriller, and it's like Jewel of the Nile and Romancing the Stone meets James Bond and Marvel is where I'm going.
Whoa, I like this. This is good. These are all good comps. I like this.
Seriously, I mean, it's non-stop. So it's, I don't know if it's the other Chris Evans is the really famous Chris Evans.
Yeah, the second Chris Evans,
yeah,
I
okay,
call
there's
him.
There's another one. There's a professor who's really clever and won all the best prizes in the world. We get someone else. Such
one.
A normal name. You know, it's not even my real one. I just went for the most normal. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not about me. It may well be his audition for the next Bond. Is it your audition to direct the next Bond film?
Well, that's what I was being asked a lot last night when we had a bit of a premiere party last night.
Yeah.
And that is like the big thrill coming out of it. That everyone's like, well, it's your audition for Bond, isn't it? Which I, you know, it's a lofty goal to reach for the
yeah,
old
but hang
Bond.
On a minute. There's nothing missing from what I saw yesterday from a directing point of view.
Well, I mean, that's lovely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can only hope then that if that's the case, that the right people see it and feel the same way as you do.
All right, so we'll talk about the premiere in a bit because a lot of your old Lockstock pals pitched up, which was awesome. I'm surprised you made it to the show, to be honest, today, but it's all rather wonderful.
Well,
I'm
happy
pictures,
to be here.
Look at those pictures.
Oh, there we all are.
Night.
Yeah.
The print is hardly dry. So your dynamic duo, who are they in real life? Who do they play in your film?
Who are they in real life?
Yeah.
You mean the characters?
No, who are the actors? Oh, it's Arna
de Armas and Chris Evans, the other Chris Evans.
Yeah. Tell us about Arna, for people who may not know. Some people
so
may not
Arna
know.
Was just nominated for an Academy Award for Blonde, playing Marilyn, which is an incredible film with an incredible performance. She's also now making a John Wick spin-off called Ballerina, which is, you know, the next chapter of those episodes. But so she had a window of availability because it was going to be Scarlett Johansson originally with Chris Evans, the old Marvel duo back together. But then Scarlett had to fall out because of, you know, scheduling and all of that stuff. And so Arna had an available moment and she stepped up. And she's super cool, Cuban, beautiful, smart, funny, dramatic actor.
Yeah.
So we've got really lucky with her.
So it's funny. They're both gorgeous to look at. It's non-stop. It's a caper. It's exciting. And it's very life-affirming. So it starts... It couldn't be more normal when it starts, I suppose.
No.
That's the trick, isn't
that's
it?
That's the trick that is. And just to make him accessible and like an average guy. You know, he runs a little stall in a market and he meets this incredible woman. And they sort of clash, you know, but there's like this real friction and tension between them. But they obviously fancy one another.
Yeah, they more than fancy one
they
another.
More than fancy one
and
another,
that all goes on. And then suddenly she disappears.
Family show.
She disappears. Yeah. And then he goes home to his dad and his mum who own a farm.
Yes.
And says, I think I've met the love
I've
of
mine. I've met the one. And his little sister's quite sceptical about it and calls him crazy. And then, she ghosts him. He doesn't hear from her anymore.
Yeah.
So he sort of moons around the farm, you know, looking at the beekeeping and sending her text messages, too many text messages. And eventually he remembers that he gave her something when they went on this amazing date. And it has like a little tracking tile on it.
Yeah.
So he goes, oh, you know where to find her. So boom, he hits the tracking device and she's in London.
Yeah, and
or at least the thing is.
And where is he then?
Oh, he's in Virginia.
Virginia.
So,
okay.
So he
jumps on a plane.
Yeah, gets in a cab at the other end, gets a cab all the way into London. The cab driver says to him, you never get a cab from the airport into London. That's always a bad move. It costs a fortune. Anyway, he does that, promptly gets kidnapped. He goes to where he thinks that she is and a couple of heavies grab him and chuck him in the back of a van. And he wakes up and he's in a cave. And there's some mad Russian bloke with like a load of bugs and wants to, you know, he's trying to torture him for information. He doesn't know what they keep calling
him. Because he's not the guy.
He's not the guy, no. they keep calling him the tax man.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a case of mistaken identity.
So he's got caught up in her web in more ways
inadvertently,
than one.
Exactly. Basically, he's turned up at her work and just started causing havoc.
Because what does she do for a living? How much do we say? And
we're selling
say?
Everything, but look, people can watch it now. I mean, they're going to watch it, so I don't know. It's like... So anyway, yeah, so he's turned up at her work and she's obviously the spy.
Yeah, and so I mean, the guy who's doing the interrogating, he's about to start torturing this guy. And you always, you know, what's fun about that is, you know, from a creative point of view, is different ways that you can be tortured. And he tortures people with insects.
With the insects, yeah. Well, yeah, originally it was like, in the script, I think it was like he had one, he had like a tray of different kind of bugs. But then I made it a cave and just filled the whole thing. So there's like all these terrariums full of bees and wasps and scorpions and every kind of bug that you can imagine.
So it's like Amicelab plus plus.
Yes, exactly, on steroids.
Yes.
The real deal.
And then, where did we go next? From a continental point of view,
he discovers...
It's non-stop, I've got to tell you. It's exhausting.
It doesn't stop. If he discovers he's not where he thinks, he's actually in Pakistan.
Yeah.
In the Khyber Pass.
Yeah.
He's been spirited away.
Yesterday afternoon, he was in Virginia on his dad's farm.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was looking at the Tower of London going, oh, that's good.
That's nice.
Tower Bridge. And yeah, and now he finds he's actually, in a cave system.
And then kicks in your audition for the next James Bond film. That's when it all kicks in, really.
Well, she comes and rescues him, yeah. And then she...
And then you got the chase sequences, the fight sequences.
And they jump on a bus.
The bus chase is ridiculous.
It's great.
I mean, it would easily sit very happily in the middle of any Bond film that's already been made or yet to be made. How do you do that?
I want to see this film the way you talk about it.
But seriously, I loved it. It's so much fun.
Thank you. My
kids are going to love this film.
Good. That's the idea.
That's what it is, isn't
it? Yeah. It's for the family.
Because if you think about Romance in the Stone back in the day and Jewel in the Nile, and to a certain extent, you know, the Indiana Jones films, our mums and dads probably thought they were a bit daft, but I loved them.
Absolutely.
And that's what you've done with it.
Well, I love those films as well, and that's what I'm trying to reference. There's a bit where a guy jumps on the bus and the bars start running away, and I'm just sort of referencing all those lovely films, Indian stuff.
But who doesn't want a girlfriend who's such a badass as her?
She's really dangerous.
She's going to win any pub fight.
You've got it covered with
her.
You
looking at my bloke?
Oh, yeah.
No, you spilled his pint?
Yeah.
You got me to deal with.
Yeah. She's serious. Well, as you find out in the end of the film, when they have to sort of save the world, as they do, you know, eventually. Yeah.
When you've got like you're on a mountainside, it's the most ridiculously narrow road, and I've driven on some of those crazy roads in cars that are supposed to grip to the road. Uh-huh. You're driving these buses around. Yeah. How do you choreograph that? Where does it begin? How can it go wrong? What if you're like a three? You're setting up for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, if I see night shoots in London at Piccadilly, because I commute through Piccadilly on foot or on my bike every morning, and often they're shooting like Luther and they've closed the streets out, I think they better get this right, because this must cost a fortune. What's the pressure on this? Just give us a bit of that juice.
Well, it's enormous, I won't tell a lie, and there's a lot of cameras involved and a huge team and a lot of people.
Do you actually know what you're doing at any point?
Yes, and if you don't, you cannot tell anybody. I'm not going to tell you here. So I've got no idea what's going on. I just wander around looking at, what are we doing today?
This goes wrong, I'm out of here.
Exactly. No, there's some other very capable people involved as well.
So
it's
what
not
do you
like
do
like
then?
I'm
what's
doing.
Your job on the day then? Because all directors are different, aren't they?
They are all different. Well, I mean, look, a lot of when you're doing action stuff, it's really important that you plan ahead, obviously. And what we do is we do what's called a previs, which is an animatic of the whole sequence. So there's an animated version of it that we've done, that we've created, that's based on storyboards
and
discussions with the camera department. And you get all of that, and then you can work to that shot to shot. But then stuff happens that you don't expect, so you've got to be adaptable.
So you've got to have it covered.
You've got to have it covered, because also there's a lot of money involved as well.
Yeah.
And the studio are like, what exactly are you going to do? You can't turn up and go, oh, I think we'll have, you know.
So I know that it's your job to watch what's going on, but if I was you, I would shout action, then I would just close my eyes. I get a penalty shootout, you know. It's like, tell me when it's over.
Are you joking? It's the most exciting thing in the world, because this guy's going to jump from one vehicle onto the back of another while it's moving at, you know, 40 miles an hour, and he's got to climb up on the roof of this truck and run across the bonnet and jump onto the back of a bus, and everyone's standing there watching it like,
no, I'd be fine watching it if I wasn't responsible for all of it, i.e. you.
Oh, what if that bloke fell off, for example?
Yeah, no, but just anything. It's like, I just wouldn't be able to watch it. So what's the best thing that happened that wasn't in the script or the screenplay that made it to the movie, then?
Oh, there's lots of lovely improvisational stuff that in there. That it's really between those two because they're so good together.
Right.
And they know each other. So this is their third movie together.
Yeah, I know.
So
yeah.
They've done Knives Out and they've done Grey Man. But this is one where they're like a romantic couple. So there's really good stuff that happens, like when they're in that bus chase and she saves him a particular
one,
pulls him back,
yeah, yeah.
And he ends up sitting on her lap while she's driving.
She says, "Are you comfortable?"
Yeah, exactly. Are you comfortable?
It's,
like, oh.
It's really funny.
So
man.
There's all that kind of little bantery and jokes.
And by
stuff
the way, other amazing, well-known actors in. Give them a shout out in the movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, Chris is very well connected to the Marvel world, obviously, and yeah. So. There's definitely a lot of appearances by his mates from
Should
that.
Should we just leave it at that? Yeah.
I think I have to. I mean, look, it comes out today. Everyone's going to pretty much
fun,
know.
Man. It's fun.
But
I mean,
there's some
it's like,
real.
Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, it's so.
So yeah, and then the last, you know, there's a really lovely one at the end. And yeah. There's this big restaurant scene at the end. And
where is that? Doesn't exist. That restaurant does it?
No, no,
it's not
no,
based. It's a revolving
up.
Restaurant.
We,
isn't
it's
it?
Based.
In the end, it revolves a lot more than it's supposed to. Let's just leave it at that, shall we?
If you've ever been to the Gravitron or whatever they call it at a fun fair and stuck to the wall like that,
whilst trying to have a gun. Fight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And your gun's stuck to the side
exactly,
of it.
Exactly, yeah.
There's a lot of that going pull on. The trigger. Wow.
She's very good, though.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm so chuffed.
The budget
you
was of clearly massive, I would imagine.
The budget?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's,
many millions of dollars?
Millions of dollars.
What is that like as well? You know...
They don't give it to me.
No,
I mean,
I know.
It's not like I get... It's like they turn up with a big briefcase. I go, there you are. On for you go.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it is a lot though. Oh, you try to ignore it is the simple.
What was the bit that you fought for budget wise that you got in there? Because there's always
there is always a battle.
Hopefully they're friendly
right,
fights, you know.
They can get a little bit personal, but you know.
What did
that's
you really want?
I wanted the beach where there's a really lovely scene where they end up on a beach together, which I thought that was not originally in it, and so there's a moment where they. They jump out of an aeroplane for various reasons.
It's not a beach, it's an island.
It's an island.
It's
exactly.
An island. See, this is it. Think, he's now, we paid all that money. He's now calling it a beach.
Well,
we paid for an island.
Yeah. Well, it was an island originally in Greece.
How much for an island?
When we filmed it,
yeah.
Not much.
Hourly or by the day? How do they rent them out, the islands? The beaches?
Islands? They're about 150 grand a day.
For an island?
No, I'm joking. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Dexter, you are... I nearly swore then.
They told me not to swear.
No, they never tell
it's
me.
Your job.
I'm supposed to know. I love you. I think you're great, man. I've always thought you're fantastic.
You've always been so lovely to me.
And,
like,
right, tell us about the premiere.
So I love you too.
Some of the Lockstock... Boys
well, that was just a lovely. Last night, you know, we put on a screen of the film because the film's going out streaming. So I wanted to get it up on a screen at least once or twice,
right.
Which was great. And so we went to a place in London, and I invited all my friends. You know, as you do to show support, and there'll be stuff coming out. There's a lovely turnout of people, but it's very rare that the four Lockstock guys are all back together because we came and saw you all those years ago
fun,
on your show.
It?
Yeah,
still going,
great.
Mate, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah,
just
still
about.
There. Yeah. It was great. Oh, you put us all on taxi bikes and drove us across town.
It was really
exciting.
And then Vinnie Jones stuck my head down the toilet.
Yeah, Vinnie.
It was a lovely moment.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
No, but that's a sign of affection from Vinnie.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it didn't feel like it at the time.
It feels a bit rude.
Made a good opening sequence. By the way, directed by Guy Ritchie. So I didn't know this. It was for a Lockstock TFI special, and a guy said. He said, what's going on here, Mr. Evans? What's going on here? And he said, ladies, what's going on here?
Ladies, yeah.
Mrs. Evans, what's going on here? That's actually what he said.
Yeah.
And I said, we're just doing this thing, which is a tribute to the... But nobody'd seen Lockstock at the time.
No.
It was only open. It opened that day, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, Vinny's going to stick my head down. He said, do you want me to direct it? And so he did. So Guy directed.
I didn't remember that.
And the only downside was that he kept saying, stick it in harder.
Stick it in, I would do, yeah.
More water.
Yeah,
he's got to look like he might drown before 6 o'clock on Channel 4 tonight.
Flush it.
Flush it. Flip him, flush it. All words to that effect. Flush it.
Memorable days. Fun. Well, we had a bit of that last night with the premiere. There was all of us there, and Jason and Nick and myself.
So
this is really great.
I mean, Dexter, seriously, what a filmography you're compiling and composing and building as a director. It's
Thank
wonderful,
you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Bohemian Rhapsody, by the way. Rocket Man, by the way. Come on. What's I mean, you may have already made another film now, because that's how long these things
take. No, I haven't. I literally just finished this at the end of January.
Slacker.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing myself. Yeah. And it sort of hit the ground running, so Apple wanted it out very quickly. Well, so now I'm waiting for the phone to ring, Chris. I mean, you know, film comes out today, and I'm sure my agent will be inundated with requests for me to make James Bond movies, probably.
But it's all about people, isn't it? It's all about people. It's about getting the vibe right, whether it's a radio studio, you know, a corner shop, a factory, Amazon, whatever. It's about getting the vibe right with the people.
Yeah.
How do you start off with a new team? What's day one like with you?
Well, I try to be really inclusive. I am, because I work to the ethos is like, you know, I was coming from the acting background. You know, when you're an actor, you're in an ensemble, and that's really important because you're all trying to tell the same story. You all want to get to the same end, you know. And that's really important for me as well when I'm going into a film like this, to understand what I don't know, because I'm going to have to rely on other people. I know I can't do everything and I won't know everything. I have quite a limited band of knowledge, really. Acting, I'm really good at. I'm strong on that. But if we start talking to me about camera lenses, I've still got a lot to learn. But that's okay. I'm happy to go, I've got a lot to learn, tell me.
Yeah.
So I do say I'm happy not knowing, but I want to learn. All right. And so I get everyone together and I make that clear. And I will change my mind at any given moment. But it does, it kind of brings everyone together. It's really important that you're all on the same journey. And I do the same with the actors as well, get them talking to each other, telling their stories, talking about what they do, lots of round table stuff, and everyone hearing, you know, how they're connected and involved and what their part is.
Well, this film is out today. It's available from today on Apple TV+. It is a mega movie. It's called Ghosted. And can we have a round of applause for the brilliant Dexter Fletcher? Yeah. Cheers, Dexter.
Thank you,
Marcel. You're the best, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Good
You're very welcome.
You runners.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.